The music sets the stage. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us today are former state senator and big wave championship surfer and all-around waterman Fred Hemmings. A Hall of Famer, he's credited with creating the Pipeline Masters, the World Cup Surfing Championships, and is often referred to as the father of professional surfing. Clyde Aikau is with the Eddie Aikau Foundation, which pays tribute to the legacy of the Hawaiian surfer, as well as cultural pride in the sport and the aloha spirit. And Keala Kennelly is a professional surfer originally from Kauai, who for a decade ranked in the top 10 on the Association of Surfing Professionals World Championship Tour, and who was the first woman invited to take part in the Eddie Aikau. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Now, thank you. Fred, let's start with you, because we started this conversation a few months back about equity on the waves. Share with our listeners what you believe.
Well, I'm very proud of the sport of surfing. It's paving the way to gender equity within sports, and having women get equal pay is a huge step in the right direction. But it's other steps have to be taken, and I'm really in favor of getting rid of gender bias. Have women compete against men, and that's why I'm so proud of Clyde and the Aikau event, which is a pioneer event in surfing, for having Keala in the event. And it's you've got a big burden on your shoulders, young lady.
I'm carrying all of womankind on my shoulder. No pressure, Keala.
Yeah. And it's really kind of amazing, because in the earlier days of professional surfing, when we started the first women's pro event, there was a lot of pushback. Why are you wasting your time and money on women in surfing? And I think women like Keala and the present day caliber of women professional services proved why. You know, they're surfers, and they're good surfers, are the best in the world, and now it's time for everybody to step up to the plate and be the first sport that women compete directly against men. And Clyde recognized that, and it's making it happen.
And so, Clyde, talk about that, because I remember shortly after we had this discussion with Fred and we saw your announcement, it was like, wow, it's actually happening.
Well, you know, if you know something about this young lady, a few years back, she surfed this spot called Chopos. It's one of the biggest barrels going left. She took off on this 15 to 20-foot wave and just got a really bad wipeout. Her whole frontal face got shoved into the reef, and she had over 100 stitches. And what really meant something to me is it's not really the size of the wave that you ride, but the will for her to come back months later and go to the same spot and surf the same wave again was just tremendous. And that was a very special thing for me. And I've always felt that for the Eddie Aikau, after 35 years, it was time to open up and let the young lady surf.
And I was just looking on your Facebook this morning, and you've been training hard. I mean, you're a brave heart, you know, you just are out there. But you're like you said, you've got a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I can go out there, and if I have a bad heat, you know, they're going to blame it on the fact that I'm a female, whereas any of my male counterparts can go have a bad day, and that's okay. But, you know, if I go out and I have a bad day, or I don't catch a wave, or I wipe out, it's like, oh, well, she's a girl, she can't handle it. So that's tough.
And you have an alternate in this competition as well, right? Paige
yes.
Alms?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. The young lady is Paige Alms. She was the champion of the Jaws Big Wave event 2 years ago, and I felt that she was definitely earned her spot to be right next to Keala.
So we can't wait. I mean, we're waiting for those big waves so we can all go down there and watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've been watching the swells very closely. We have a half a dozen of wave chasers and meteorologists. We have the best in the state, if not in the world. And we're on it. But somehow, when it comes closer, it just turns a little bit to the left or to the right, and it loses its intensity. But we have another 6 weeks, so we're hoping.
Okay. Well, you know, we did send out our Ryan Finnerty this winter to the beach. And he reached out to a smattering of surfers to find out where they stand on this issue of gender equity on the waves. Gabriel Medina is a pro surfer from Brazil and was the 2018 World Surf League Men's World Champion. Here's what he had to say when asked if men and women would ever directly compete in surfing.
This is a hard question, but who knows? The way it's going, it's women surfing, it's growing a lot. You know, they are getting really good. You know, they're getting really getting better. And in every single situation, you know, like especially inside of the water, in the water, you know, when it's really big or when it's really tricky, I see a girl surfing with me. So I think it's growing a lot. It's good for girl surfers.
Julian Wilson is a professional surfer from Australia who finished second in the 2018 World Tour. He's also a previous winner of the Triple Crown of Surfing held on Oahu's North Shore.
I don't think it's going to be a mixed field. I think like the tennis, like the golf, I don't think it's happening in those sports. And I don't know. I could be wrong.
And Ezekiel Lau is a local surfer from Honolulu who competes on the World Surf League's qualifying series. That's one step below the World Championship Tour. He was also invited to compete in this year's Eddie.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we got equal pay, equality, and we got Kiala Kennelly, first woman ever in the Eddie. That's a huge accomplishment for her. She's been working towards that for some time now, and she's proven herself very well. And, you know, I'm just really stoked for her and happy for her.
The league recently announced, as you just mentioned, that men and women will receive equal pay. Do you think there will be a day when men and women compete against each other?
Probably. I mean, the level of girl surfing is so high now. It's crazy with Steph Gilmore and Carissa and Coco. I mean, they're pushing the levels, you know, they're pushing the bar high. So, I mean, it's probably only a matter of time, especially with wave pools and stuff like that.
We also talked with Felipe Toledo, a pro surfer from Brazil, who finished third in the 2018 Championship Tour.
Well, I don't think so. You know, we don't see men and women competing against each other in any other sport. So I don't think that's going to happen. But in my opinion, I think that's amazing, you know, for them just to be getting the same amount of, you know, prize money for the events. And, you know, the same way that we put in a really hard work, they do as well. So, yeah, really proud of the women's surfing, where it is, and just happy to be around to see what's going on.
So it's a mixed bag. Some folks think the time has come. Some folks, not so sure.
Well, I think it's going to happen. Surfing, I'm so proud of what the sport has done, and Clyde and I were there in the early days of it all, and it's come so far. And just when you think you've kind of hit the zenith of what surfing is going to do, something new happens, and this development with women competing against men should really be encouraged. There's no physical or mental reason why a Kiala or a Stephanie Gilmore should not be competing against men, and I think it will be the first major sport in the world. And by the way, surfing is a major sport in the world. We get so caught up in baseball, football, and basketball in America. Well, guess what? They're surfing in South Africa. They're surfing in Bombay, India. They're surfing in Indonesia. Surfing is really Hawaii's gift to the world of sports. And I think we're going to continue to be on the cutting edge of the evolution of sports. I have to bring this in because it's such an epic thing happening in our sport. I rode an artificial wave machine in 1969 and never really went anywhere because the wave wasn't that good. But what they've done in the farm fields of Fresno, California with artificial waves, and this relates back to what we're talking about. Stephanie Gilmore was there, and this wave machine makes a wave where you climb and drop. It also has a section where there's a tube, and tube riding is kind of like the ultimate deal with surfing. The best tube ride of the day in the contest was Stephanie Gilmore, a woman. She got about a 10-second tube ride, which is an eternity in surfing. So it just goes to show you that women can go head-to-head with men, and it's going to happen, and women like Kiala are going to make it happen because they're going to be pushing the envelope, and that's what this is all about.
And Clyde, have you ever surfed an artificial wave?
I mean, no, I haven't, but, you know, getting back to the young ladies who are riding waves, I mean, to be honest with you, I'm pretty amazed on what they're doing now. The young ladies, I mean, they're doing some tight, really rail turns. They're getting up in the air and really making it work. I think personally, eventually you'll have a few girls go up against the men. I mean, to say that all girls will go up against the men, I really don't think so in the new future. But in the new future, I think one or two, even three young ladies will be the caliber of Mr. Toledo. And they would have earned their way in. It's not going to be given to them, but I can see from myself it will come.
Yeah, I agree with Clyde 100% on that.
You know, I remember talking with Rel Sun, and I was just so in awe of the Queen of Makaha, you know. And, you know, she's no longer with us, but you see all these other, you know, brave hearts, brave women out there challenging these waves. I mean, it's just awesome what you do.
Thank you.
Is there, I don't know, anything you want to share just about what it's like training for this?
I mean, I feel the more physically strong I get, it makes you mentally strong. You have to be very mentally strong to be able to throw yourself over the ledge in these crazy heavy waves that could take your life. So I feel like the more you train, the more you can get your body strong. That's going to make you mentally strong enough to do this.
And talk about growing up on Kauai, because, I mean, that island has produced some awesome
surfers. It sure has. I was very fortunate. My father surfed. My whole family surfed. I grew up with Andy and Bruce Irons. They were like brothers to me. My godfather was Laird Hamilton. I looked up to guys like Titus Kinimaka and Kalaa Alexander. I had all these, like, really amazing role models to draw inspiration from. But, you know, it was also tough, you know, growing up in Kauai. When I started competing in the local contest, there was no girls division. I had to go up against the boys. And, you know, I would beat the boys from time to time. And boys did not like getting beat by a girl. That was rough. You know, I went from being friends with all those guys to some of those guys just being really mean to me. And, you know, I don't hold it against them, because as little boys, they were taught to be embarrassed and ashamed of being beat
by a girl.
By a girl. You know, this is something they learn. This is not something they were innately born with. So, you know, I think society needs to change and stop teaching little boys that it's shameful to be beaten by girls, and just look at us all as athletes, you know, instead of separate us by gender.
And have you been on an artificial wave?
No, I haven't. Kelly, if you want to invite me to the ranch, that'd be awesome. Me and Clyde will go.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. Well, Fred, we talked about separate but not equal.
Right.
Share with our listeners where you come from with that.
And I hearken back to the great effort to bring equality to the races in America. They had what they called for years Jim Crow laws. The African Americans were equal, but they had to go sit in the back of the bus. They had to drink at a separate water, separate but equal. And separate is not equal. Oh. And so I think it's surfing, and really blazed the way. In every other field of endeavor in America, commerce, medicine, all the other endeavors of human existence, women are competing head-to-head with men. They're more, right now there's a problem, there's more women doctors than men doctors. So women are competing, and I think it's time we do that with surfing. I'd like to suggest to Sophie Goldsmith, the head of the World Surfing League, that she have a specialty event with good prize money of 32 surfers, the 16 top-ranked men and the 16 top-ranked women, and let them go at it head-to-head. And, you know, it will pioneer. Now, I'm not going to tell you what the results are going to be, because I don't know, but I'll tell you what, women like Kella and others, Stephanie Gilmore and Carissa Moore from Hawaii, they're going to step up to the plate, and they're going to embarrass some guys. But that's
the thing. Guys shouldn't be embarrassed. You know, they need to learn that we're all athletes. You know,
you didn't get
beat by a girl. You got beat by an athlete that just happened to surf better than you on the day.
That's the whole point.
You know?
That's the whole point. But
they will be embarrassed, because that's society.
It's a guy,
unfortunately.
Yeah, it's called alpha male, you know. Comes with the territory.
And I think that's why I've gotten so much pushback, especially going into the big wave arena. You know, I was one of the first women out there surfing Pipeline with the guys, and you know, the first few years I was out there trying to ride pipe, I got a lot of pushback from the guys. I was not welcome out there.
Cal, I can tell you there's no physical or mental reason why you shouldn't be out there. You're every bit as capable as, you know, some of these guys that are top-ranked pro surfers. You can kick their butt on any given day.
Well, I think, you know, I think men sometimes can be threatened, right? Because, you know, it's like, especially with the big wave thing, you know, if you're a man and you ride this, like, wave that's the size of a mountain, you know, you get to beat on your chest like, I am man, you know? But if, you know, a tiny little girl like me can go out and ride the same wave, somehow it makes the accomplishment feel less manly for them or something, you know?
And that's their problem.
Well, and I think that'll change. I think that's going to change.
And Clyde, can you talk about the sponsorship this year for the contest? Because, you know, was it hard to convince them to say yes to Kayla?
Well, first of all, we're very proud that the Office of Hawaiian Affairs have gotten involved with the Eddie and Cam School and DTL and Waimea Falls. DTL is a company made up of two Hawaiian ladies, and they helped us get some major sponsorship this year. But I think what's important for the Eddie and what has made me really proud of the Eddie is that it actually has moved up a few levels culturally, traditionally. You know, in years past, you know, the Eddie was, you know, the biggest waves that pulled through. We're going to put 28 guys from around the world to go out there and ride them, you know. And now it's more of a cultural tradition, Hawaiian, being proud that you're Hawaiian and sharing its culture with all of the public and the surfing world.
If you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about surfing and gender equality and equity on the waves. You can join the discussion by calling 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. Fred?
I'd like to underscore something that Clyde has touched on. The Hawaiian Tourism Authority is in charge of marketing Hawaii. Nothing markets Hawaii more ubiquitously and worldwide than surfing. Everybody knows surfing and Hawaii.
And everybody knows the Eddie.
And everybody knows the Eddie. But there's something more significant, too. The Eddie is more than a sports contest. It's a cultural event. It celebrates the Hawaiian-ness of surfing because of Eddie and Clyde and the Hawaiian lineage that they carry on. And it really should be a marquee promotion. They spend millions of dollars on other sports and
right,
surfing.
Golf and
yeah, surfing is
football.
It makes me rather sad that surfing seems to be a stepchild in its own land. And the Hawaiian Tourism Authority should be investing heavily because it's what markets Hawaii. People don't come to Hawaii
to
see football or golf. They come to see surfing, you know. The surfing capital of the world is the North Shore. So it is really a not only a warranted investment, it's a prudent investment for the state marketing effort, HTA, Hawaiian Tourism Authority, to invest in surfing and more specifically in the Eddie contest, because it is Hawaii. It's what we're all about.
And Ken, what would you like to see just as far as sponsorship down the road?
For myself, for the Eddie in general,
For women, I don't know.
For women, yeah, I would like to see, I mean, now we have equal prize money, but, you know, that's just the beginning. Like, the sponsors for the men and women is still very, very off. I currently don't have any paying sponsors to where I have to work two jobs just to do my big wave surfing career, whereas my male counterparts, like, they don't have to do that. So they're able to train, they're able to surf, they're able to focus on their sport. You know, I have to squeeze my training and my surfing in between shifts at work.
And that just doesn't make sense on a certain level because women have a lot of power when it comes to the pocketbook, right? So why don't the sponsors go out there and say, hey, yeah, we want to support women?
I think because, you know, especially for the women's big wave, it's a very new sport, you know. We've only had women's big wave on the WSL circuit for, this will be the third year now. So it's a new sport, but I think it has the potential to take off like wildfire. Like I think especially like the big wave could get as big as UFC fighting, because the risk is so high. You know, it's so exciting to watch, because we're out there literally challenging ourselves and putting our life on the line. And so that is like a train wreck you can't turn away from, you know. And I think especially when the prize purse gets bigger, you know, because I don't understand why we're not making like $1 million, because we're actually like risking our life every time we go out there. Like, you're never going to die on a golf course unless you get struck by lightning or something like really radical, how freak accident happens. So I think when the prize purses get massive, and then that will draw the viewership, because, you know, what excites people is high stakes, you know. It's like those people love those shows like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and, you know, you open the suitcase, and if the grand prize they could win is a few hundred dollars, nobody would watch that show. But there is the potential somebody's going to win like $1 million, you know, and that's exciting. So you mix that with then life or death circumstances, I mean, you've got a winner.
And so, Clyde, what about the broadcast coverage for the Eddie?
We're still working on it, but it looks positive that the broadcasters that we do go with will be worldwide and will reach millions of people. I can't really talk about specifics right now, but everything is in place.
Okay, and I believe we have a call on the line. Raquel from Honolulu. Hi,
yeah,
you there?
Hello, hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Kiala. This is Kiala and Fred. This is Jericho Poplar's oldest daughter, Raquel. And
what up, girl? How's it going?
What up?
Hey, how's it?
Good. I just wanted to say thank you for all the hard work and pushing women surfing forward. And I love watching you guys. And Kiala, you're kicking ass. And yeah, just
well, I have to thank
you.
Your mother. You know, Jericho, your mom, she was one of the actual first women out there riding Pipeline before me even. So, you know, it's women like her that pioneered things for me that I've just been able to play it forward.
And Fred, too. Fred really helped get the movement forward and supported all the women surfing way back in the 70s. And so if it wasn't for people like Fred that supported women surfing, it's really about getting the men on board and having them support us.
Yeah, you know, it's all about getting the men on board and getting that, you know, just encouraging women, you know. Yeah. I was told when I was a little girl by so many people, like, I couldn't do things because I was a girl. You can't get barreled. You can't ride big waves. And thank God I didn't listen to any of those people, because my life would be very different, you know. But how many, I then question, like, how many little girls were told they couldn't do things and then just took that at face value and never tried, you know.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you. You know, I have to say that the potential for women's surfing, especially when you talk about prize money with the highest echelons of women competitors, it far exceeds that of men, for the simple reason because of the marketplace. Women are bigger consumers. They consume more. And I just, for the life of me, don't understand why some of the big clothing companies aren't stepping into women's professional surfing sponsorship more. You know, I think the Billabong and some of those other companies, they're pouring literally millions into the men's events. And there's a bigger market with the women. You know, there's a much more diverse market. Men aren't concerned about, you know, they wear board shorts, and
right.
That's about
same
it.
Ones
same
over.
Ones over. Same ones over.
Yeah, exactly.
I got my slippers on that I had 10 years ago. That's my same slipper, you know. But
broken the bottom, in is why.
Yeah, the bottom line is that the women's market is much larger, and it would warrant, I would think, on the part of good business people, a bigger investment.
Yeah, I know. When I see, like, Roxy comes out with the new, you know, wetsuit type of thing, and whoa, that's kind of neat. I like those colors. And, you know, it really does kind of, you know, catch your eye. So it's like, yeah, we need some of those big-name sponsors to be out there.
No, but I wanted to make mention is that, you know, the market for surfwear and the actual companies, Billabong, Quiksilver, it's a tough market these days. Mm. I mean, you're talking bankruptcy of not only Quiksilver, but multiple other countries.
Them.
And the big investment companies from New York is buying them all up. I mean, I don't know why, but they are. But you know, when you're talking sponsorship and if you're looking at the surf market, I think it's a tough road there. You know, you need to go outside of the box, like, you know, Target or larger companies like that. But well, if you're looking at the surf market, it's tough.
I love that Carissa went that route.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other sports have done that. They have gone beyond the boundaries of their actual participants for their market, you know, and it's you know, we all don't play professional football, but, you know, the professional football players are advertising all types of products, from mm-hmm. cars to clothing to other consumer goods. And I think it makes eminent sense for surfing that we Clyde, remember, we had a lot of different sponsors in the early days of pro surfing. You know, we had a liquor company, biggest. In fact, the Pioneer Pro event was something called the Smirnoff World Pro-Am. It was a, you know, vodka company. So there are products out there that can benefit by sponsoring surfing, most especially in Kayala's incident, women's surfing, because women are, I think, bigger and better consumers than men.
Some might think, though, is there a downside with having women in? And I know, Fred, you and I have talked about this with when it comes to drugs. I don't know if this might push people to taking steroids to compete, you know, when you talk about athleticism. I mean, what do you think, Clyde?
Steroids for surfing? I don't know. I always felt that big muscles and surfing – kind of don't go in hand in hand.
Yeah, you get all stiff.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, you're talking steroids. I don't think they'll happen in our surfing world.
Yeah, I think that's more for bodybuilders. Surfing, you want to be mm-hmm. lean. Longer.
Or football players. Guys are going to rough it up.
Yeah.
But surfing's no different than any other sport. It's got some problems with people, individuals who have problems with addictions and other things like that. But surfers are, for the most part, clean, healthy, wonderful athletes, and they're, I'll tell you, the best athletes in the world are surfers. You know, they have tremendous bravado of like a bullfighter. One day they're surfing in 3-foot waves at Hossiger, France. The next week they can be in killer waves at Waimea Bay in the Eddie contest. Surfers are the most dynamic competitors in the world because their playing field is constantly changing. Every other sport has constants. A gymnast, it's the same piece of equipment. A basketball court's the same every time. You can shoot from the key in a basketball court with your eyes shut. Surfing, you take off on a wave and you say, well, I'm going to do this on the next one. Guess what? It ain't going to happen because the wave's going to be a freight train. They're going to run you over. So surfing is by far and away the most creative and productive sports in the world. The surfers are very special athletes. I think Kelly Slater is the greatest athlete in the world simply because of his diversity and his longevity. You know, who else has been world champion 11 times? So there's a lot to be said about the quality of the athleticism of surfers, both men and women.
I know we were chatting with Kai Lenny when he was doing the hydrofoil competition, and he was saying, yeah, there's a, you know, a woman back here, you know, and they were just, you know, competing together on the open ocean. And so you've got the, you know, the younger generation coming up saying, yeah, women competing with us, just a fact of life.
Well, you know, we were never encouraged back in, that's like, to your point, Fred, there's so many female doctors now, right? But back in the day, a woman's place was in the kitchen, you know? And now that, you know, in this modern day, women are being encouraged to go to college, women are being encouraged to be CEOs. Now you're seeing that a lot.
Well, I want to encourage you to compete against men.
Well, Clyde's giving me that opportunity.
Yeah,
so
you got to step up to the plate, man. Make it happen.
You know, I'll swing for the fences, Fred.
Okay, good.
And surfing's going to be an Olympic sport, right? And so
yes, it is.
They're talking about, you know, drug testing. You know, it's got to for all water sports, really. I mean, it takes some. It's different. We've never done that before.
You know, we advocated drug testing in 1988 when the ASP was running the world professional circuit. And I think they do have random drug testing now with surfing. And drug testing is not designed, as I saw it and proposed it, to penalize anybody. It's to help them. If you identify someone with a problem and you can help them cure that problem, then you're saving the kid's life. You know, and I think that's the major reason that we should drug test anybody, is to help wean them from the addiction.
Not weed them out, but help them.
Help them, exactly. Wean them from the addiction.
Yeah, you have to start looking at people that have, you have to start looking at addiction the same way we look at cancer or any other disease, you know, instead of like making such a stigma about it. So these people are afraid to come forward and get the help they need. You know, you would never criticize somebody that got diagnosed with cancer.
Precisely.
But, yeah, somebody that has a drug addiction, it's...
And that's why drug testing is so important. The first and foremost, you're helping the person identify their illness and come to grips with it. Denial is the biggest killer of drugs and alcoholism.
You know, well, it's not just a river in Egypt, Fred.
Yeah, exactly right. Good one.
And, gosh, I mean, so we've got this big competition coming up, and I just wonder, Clyde, like, what was it like, you know, making that decision of, okay, we're going to invite, you know, a woman to Waimea, and then who do you invite, and how do you select somebody?
Well, I've wanted to have a female be a part of the event for the last few years. But again, like I said earlier, watching this young lady, Keala, attack Chopos the way she has, it just really inspired me to really have a lady of her caliber to be involved with the Eddie. And, you know, I just felt that it was time. You know, it was literally time for a young lady to be a part of the Eddie. You know, I mean, there's probably more females in the world than men. So, you know, a huge following for the young ladies. But I want to be honest that, you know, I made a whole bunch of phone calls to the world's greatest writers. You know, big writers, and it wasn't so, you know, positive. But I felt that I had to go with what my heart said and my spirit said and what Eddie was saying to do. So we invited Keala.
We were talking before the show, and you had mentioned you were watching a wave that she took off on, and it brought you to tears.
Yeah, you know, what's really funny is that I never saw the Jaws event for the ladies until yesterday. And I purposely wanted to watch it because I knew she was going to be here today, Keala. So I was watching it, and I heard she was the deepest, and she was the more go-for-it girl than anybody else. So I wanted to watch it myself, and I saw this wave that Keala took off backside, 25 feet take off, and the whole fin came out, and that brought me back to my ride in back in 2016 when I surfed in the Eddie Aikau. I took off on the biggest wave that came in that morning from my heat, and my fin came out of the water, but I brought it back in then. But her fin came out, and the whole bottom sucked out, I think, too.
Those were some of the most challenging conditions I've ever surfed in my life. The swell was coming up so fast and getting so massive and out of control, and the wind was kicking up so hard that it was virtually impossible to get down the face of a wave. I mean, I was taking off under the lip, grabbing my rail, doing anything, and you would catch that wind under your board, your fins would release, yeah. And you would even make the first airdrops and kind of recover from that, and then you would just got hit with another chop from a different direction, and it was carnage out there. It was gnarly. And then after the women's finals, they ran two heats of men, and I was feeling kind of bad because, you know, we had so many wipeouts in the women's final. It was a very low-scoring heat, but then there was two heats of men that went out after us, and they were doing the same thing. They were cartwheeling down the face just the same. So then I was like, okay, you know, I'm feeling better about that. And then they ended up calling the event off. It got too dangerous.
Wow. Your mom and dad must have been freaking out.
My poor parents, you know. I will tell you, my dad was so inspired with Clyde's performance at the Eddie in 2016. My dad's right around the same age as Clyde, maybe a couple years on him, and he's still out charging Hanalei Bay every time it's big. So when he saw Clyde out there charging in the Eddie, he was very, very inspired.
There's
by
a
you.
Point to be made here, and Clyde demonstrated you don't have to win the contest to be a winner.
Yeah.
And Clyde won that day because he proved to himself and to people, I guess, like Cal, I recognizes and to me what he did. You know, I thought Clyde was the winner that day because he got his fanny kicked and he paddled back out. And that
it's not about how many times you get knocked down; it's about how many times you get back up.
Yeah,
and keep
when you're knocked and you're on the floor of the boxing ring and you're on the verge of blacking out, and you get on your knees and go get up again to fight. That's courage.
Well, and I think that's why Clyde selected me, you know, like he said, taking that gnarly wipeout at Chopu and then returning to surf one of the biggest waves ever ridden out there. You know, it's that courage that is the spirit of the eddy.
Yeah, I like that. You're a go-for-it gal.
And I really want to go back to what the young lady, Keala, said when we first started, that, you know, training for this kind of activity is crucial, you know. Back in 2016, a lot of people didn't know that I trained for 6 months. Keala, I trained for 6 months, Freddie. Mm-hmm. Waimanalo, paddling out to the islands and back, paddling with sharks and whales. But it was a mental thing for me, because if you put yourself in this gigantic wave situations, like Keala said, it's mental. You know, you need to be strong minded to survive and to be successful. So I literally trained for 6 months, and my point to the, you know, public is that if you really want to do something, you really have to sacrifice, you know.
That's it.
Easy on the McDonald's and easy on the parties and everything else. So I really prepared myself for the Eddie, and when the day came, I was really ready to rock and roll.
So keep focused.
Yeah.
This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Today we're talking about surfing. You can join the discussion, too, by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Support for The Conversation comes from Ferraro Choi, celebrating its 30th anniversary and 25 years of support for Hawaii Public Radio. Committed to environmentally sustainable architecture and interior design. FerraroChoi.com.
My name is Tyree Jenkins. Being an underwriter, it's like a double blessing. First, I get to support my local public radio station, which is such a source of wonderful information and entertainment. But also, it's a great business decision. Hawaii Public Radio is one of the most listened to radio stations in Hawaii. The listeners are smart, and they're the type of people that I want to have as my patients.
Hawaii Public Radio Underwriting. Your message heard here.
A helicopter that has never been shot down has become the deadliest aircraft in the U.S. military.
A Navy helicopter exploded off the coast of San Francisco in heavy fog Monday. 8 crewmen are missing.
One pilot warned about safety risks, but the military still let them fly.
He saw it happening, and unfortunately he couldn't do anything to change it in time.
Navy chopper down on the next Reveal.
This evening at 7. Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Hawaiian Airlines, with international service to Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and the South Pacific. HawaiianAirlines.com.
If you're just joining us, our guests in the studio are Clyde Aikau, Keala Kennelly, and Fred Hemmings. Jody Wilmot is the World Surf League's general manager for Hawaii and Tahiti Nui. The WSI is the governing body of pro surfing and last year ran more than 180 competitive events in 27 countries around the world. Here's what she had to say.
It's great to see the women in that situation now, and they're in the best position they've ever been in to compete professionally and to have a life in surfing that they should be rewarded with and rewarded for. As far as men and women competing together, my personal opinion is that with wave technology in the, let's call it a wave system, in those inland pools or whatever, it's interesting in watching the women compete there at the Surf Ranch earlier this year. The technology behind those waves really generates a lot of the power. The athlete themselves don't have to generate the power. And my personal opinion was that it leveled the field between men and women considerably. And we saw a number of women like Carissa Moore, just powerhouses on that platform. And so I think the wave pools might be an area where you see men and women very fairly up against each other. It seems to be a great equalizer because the wave provides the power for you. There's not that physiological difference accentuated so much as it is in the ocean, where you often have to generate and control a lot of the power yourself. And I think we're going to see that happen. I mean, women are not going to become men, and men are not going to become women. And so I think everybody's pretty understanding of the fact that there are physiological differences, but the level of performance is not limited. So it's going to be a pretty exciting future.
An exciting future, most definitely.
Indeed.
So talk about this upcoming event. You know, if the waves get good in the next 6 weeks, this is going to be on. I mean, it really is going to be something to watch.
Well, here's a real story on trying to find the waves. We have a forecast that we can go 50-50 in about a week, week to 10 days. We can make a call if the waves will be big enough. 50-50, and as we come closer to the day of the waves actually arriving on the North Shore, we have 3 days where we can give you a 90% go on the event. And again, we have a whole team of forecasters, professional meteorologists involved with National Weather that we're all a team on this. So like you said, we have another 6 weeks, and who knows, you know, who knows?
And it might not go. And you know what? The fact that it doesn't go every year, I think, is what makes it so special when it actually goes, you know?
There's something to look forward to next season, right?
Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, it makes it rare. It makes it like, you know, this elusive thing that when it does happen, it's like, that's where you got people waking up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to go find their spot on the beach.
Right. Hey, you know, Catherine, I'd like to address Freddie. Freddie, there's always a problem with the general public. It is that when we look at the 6 o'clock news and Mr. Hoggy, Guy Hoggy, comes up with 30 feet waves on the North Shore, what is he really talking about, Fred? What is he really talking about? You know, we Hawaiians who ride the North Shore, we would call that Guy Hoggy 30 feet, a 15 to 18 foot wave. How do I, can you explain to the public?
Yeah, I sure
what,
can.
What that means,
I sure
Fred?
Can, because
it
drives me absolutely crazy when I hear Hawaiian style versus there's only one size of a wave. There's not two. You know, it's either 30 feet or it's not 30 feet, and size is in the eyes of the beholder. And I think a lot of it has to do with as with most sports, the psychology of it all. If you're a younger surfer and you haven't been in big waves, or you're from California and the biggest waves you've ridden are 3 or 4 feet, you see a 20-foot wave, you think it's 30. And the Hawaiians who say, hey, this
we
is
see
a 20-foot.
This every day.
This is soda water, you know, this is nothing. And so it's a matter of perception, but it's very easy to clear up. Waves are really not that hard to measure. And I suggested this years ago. All you got to do is drop a 6 foot circumference or ball, a diameter of 6 feet. You know, in other words, no matter which way it turns, it's always going to be 6 feet. You drop it in the face of a wave, and you've got a measurement. One of the problems we have is to say, oh, that guy's 6 feet tall, and the wave's 10 times over his head. Well, guess what? He's leaning into the wave.
He's
and
bending
so
his knees a little bit.
Yeah, he's bending his knees, so he's only 4 feet tall, you know. But so there's good ways, and I think Hawaiians who have been riding big waves for hundreds of years understand what a big wave is and can see a 30-foot wave and say, that's 30, this is 20, and that's 10. But for some guy who's only ridden 3-foot waves at Hermosa Beach, he comes there and says, holy Christmas, that's a 30-foot wave, and it's really 20. You know.
Well, and they probably do it for the tourists as well. You know, they probably do it to keep the tourists safe.
Yeah. You want to know how big the waves are, ask a guy who rides them. Yeah.
Well, and here's another concept to bring up, Fred. So, like, you know, the slabs, Tahiti, which is, you know, breaks below sea level and folds over on top of itself and really has no back to it. It's like a backless wave. I mean, so if you're measuring from the back, you know, that monster wave I got at Tahiti was only 2 foot.
that drives me crazy, that measure from the back. Anybody that knows anything about surfing, and you just said it, it sucks out. So the front is a lot taller than the back of the wave.
Let's talk about how square it is. Yeah. Topo is like, you gotta measure that thing.
Yeah, let's talk about where you're standing. When you're standing at the back, in the front of a 30-foot wave, trust me, what it looks like from the back has nothing to do with the pounding you're going to get from the front end, you know.
The business end of that.
Yeah, the business end of the wave is the front end.
I'm just curious, Fred, what's the biggest wave you've been on?
It's a good question. I've been in closeout Waimea, you know, 30 feet. And let me explain what the problem is, and Clyde knows this better than anybody because he got his butt kicked in the event that year. When a wave is really big, the water sucks out, and so the water moving up the face of a wave when you're paddling into it is moving faster than you can paddle. And so if you look at every big wave shot, the guys always get sucked to the top of the wave, and then they flutter if they can survive, and to the bottom of the wave, and then they're in it. But until gravity takes over, you're really being pushed to the top of the wave by the flow of the water.
It's like paddling up a waterfall.
Exactly.
And then so for women who are naturally not as, don't have as much upper body strength generally as men, that's where we find the disadvantage, is you don't get as much speed and momentum coming down that face of the wave that's moving upward. So you're not coming in with as much speed. You're not able to get into the wave quicker, sooner, earlier.
What's the biggest wave you think you've been on?
I don't even know.
No, okay.
I don't pack my tape measure in my board shorts. Right. So. I let other people decide.
when I first saw tow-in surfing, I was like, whoa, what is that?
But there's a lot of elements, just the actual magnitude and size of the wave. Waimea Bay at low tide is a different wave than at high tide. It gets a lot hollower and a lot more perilous. So tide, wind, Kayla talked about trying to stroke into a big wave at Chopo when it's blowing wind. So you have to factor in all of those. I think the main message I have, especially for women like Kayla, if you think you can't do something, you're probably right. and Kayla, you can do it. You know,
well, there was things that I didn't think I could actually do. Like when I was growing up as a little girl, I didn't think I could compete in the eddy.
But now you do.
It's impossible until you prove it's possible.
That's right.
You know, I didn't think I could beat out all the men at the XXL Awards and win one of the men's awards, you know, but I did. And so,
how you open doors. And that's,
it's impossible till it's possible.
That's what progress is.
We did have a call from Mary in Hilo, a shy caller, but she wanted to thank you for your bravery. She said she's been following you for years, and she just wanted to shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah. anything else you want to add, Clyde, just about, I don't know, maybe not the size of a wave, but the treachery of a wave.
Well, you know, I just wanted to thank Hawaii, and I wanted to thank the world for loving Eddie Aikau and what he's all about and his legacy is all about. You know, on that March 17th evening in 1978, when the Hokulea had you know, turned over and capsized, you know, a lot of crew members was already sick by the time that happened. And when it capsized, because Eddie was who he was, you know, a lifesaver his whole life, felt that he could go and get help for the crew of the Hokulea. But, you know, his whole legacy lives on, and that's the whole purpose of the family and myself and the event, to keep Eddie's legacy alive and well, and to really let people know that, you know, helping other people is really what it's all about. Because when it's said and done, You know, all the money in the world won't help you or anything, but it's really what you do for your fellow man is what Eddie was all about. And I thank the surfing world and Hawaii for loving Eddie Aikau still after all these years.
Thank you, Freddie, and thank you, Kathy.
Yeah, well, you know, you're helping women find their place on the wave. We have about a minute left. Anything else you'd like to add to close this out?
Well, I first of all, Clyde, thank you. And surfing is first and foremost Hawaii's gift to the world. And Clyde and Eddie and the Aikau family are the sons and daughters of Hawaii, and they hold our banner high for all of us who surf, whether we're Hawaiian or not. Keala, all the best to you.
Oh, I'm Hawaiian. I might look like a haole, but there's a zipper in the back.
Oh, really?
I'm Hawaiian in my soul.
Of course you are. And don't hesitate, man. Go for the gusto, you know. You have a lot on your shoulders.
Yeah, no pressure. I'm feeling a little outnumbered.
That's
but,
good. That's going to make – and you're going to rise to the occasion because that's what you're all about. So
that's what I've been doing all my life, so let's just continue. But, I wanted to say in closing, you know – I got asked many years ago in interviews, you know, do you think you'll ever be invited to the Eddie? And years ago I said, you know what? I don't want to be invited to the Eddie if it's going to take the spot away from a more deserving male athlete. I want to be invited. If I was to be invited to the Eddie, if that ever happens, I want that to be on my own merit. I want that to be because of my accomplishments, my performance. They see something in me. And so I just want to thank Clyde for seeing that in me.
And there's a whole wave of support behind you, and we're going to be watching. And thank you.
Thank
you
pressure.
All for being here. We would like to thank our guests, Keala Kennelly, Fred Hemmings, and Clyde Aikau, and we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.
Thank you, Catherine.